This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Voices.
Good evening. This is Jack Belinsky.
And this is Jennifer Renee.
And we're a little bit shorthanded this week because of Queer Music Heritage. And, in fact, Queer Music Heritage this week is going to be about the awards that J.D. goes to New York every year. And so he has a lot of award-winning music for Queer Music Heritage.
And I heard part of it. It's beautiful. Good stuff. Really
great.
Is.
But
you
in
need
the first
to, like,
hour.
Yes, we've got, following up on our interview from last week, we have two volunteers from HERA, Houston Equal Rights Alliance. We're going to two of the volunteers and talking about a special fundraiser coming up.
Great. And all that's coming up, including This Way Out segments, including news wrap and other things. But first, we're going to listen to a little bit of music that JD has picked out.
Not my judge or my jury. Okay. Your friends could find out. That's why you worried your image could be spared. Why don't I care? How can I be so unfair? My mind is twisted and you can't explain. How can I live this forsaken way? But I have a news flash for you. I'm never, never, never gonna choose. Cause it's not contagious, just a little outrageous for you. But it doesn't mean I have any less of a right to be who I am. And I demand to be free from your judgment, give me the respect. Don't like what I do, dignity isn't measured by you. To be who I am, and I demand to be free from your judgment, give me the respect. Don't like what I do, dignity isn't measured by you.
Doesn't mean I have any less of a right to be who I am. And I demand to be free from your judgment. Give me the respect. Don't like what I do. Dignity isn't measured by you.
And that is Hetero Blues by Four Dykes.
And this is Jennifer Renee again, and we've got two volunteers this week. Last week we had one of the officers with HERA. That's the Houston Equal Rights Alliance. And tonight we have Somala Rizvi and Ron Hill. And y'all are both volunteers, right? I want to make that for sure.
Yes.
Okay.
Volunteers.
So I understand that y'all have a fundraiser coming up. Something special. It didn't like one of the regular ones. You've got something going on that's really unusual.
We do, Jennifer. It's called the Hair Off for HERA.
Hair Off for HERA. Well, that's clever.
It is. And it kind of came about. We were all talking about ways to have a fundraiser, but to kind of have a special niche in the community that everyone would remember. And so what we did was we decided that our field director, who has been a frequent guest on your program, Emily Langdon, she's going to be leaving us to go to New York City. And so to raise money for $2,500, we're going to shave her head.
Now, she's going to New York for what reason?
She's going to law school, actually.
Oh.
And to actually become an advocate.
Oh, she'll look cute bald up there for that school, won't she?
She will, definitely.
So what's it, how are we going to, now, how do you do this? Now, you're just not going to shave her, everybody's going to watch and donate dollars, you know, what is this?
Basically, what we're going to do is you're going to see like a big thermometer. And so as we raise the money, as it gets up to the $2,500 mark, then Emily's hair is coming off. Now, Jerry Simino, who's a local civil rights attorney here in Houston, Jerry has agreed that for another $2,500, so if we get to the $5,000 mark, we're going to shave his head.
Oh, that's okay. That's good. I like that. All right.
But the censure.
Who gets to shave it, though?
Well, actually, we're going to have professional shavers.
Oh, but you mean the person, you know, somebody just comes in there and writes the check, they don't get to do it themselves?
Actually, no. We're going to have some professionals shave it. Oh. We were a little worried because, you know, there will be a lot of drinks and a lot of good times. So we just want to make sure that it was on the up and up. But I will tell you this, though. The big, big censure for the fundraiser is that State Representative Garnet Coleman has agreed that if we get the pot up to $7,500, State Representative Coleman will get on stage and have his head shaved.
Oh, now that's interesting. Yes. When was the last time you clipped a politician? Right.
Exactly. It's going to be at South Beach.
Okay.
And
where is South Beach?
South Beach, that is located next to JR's off of, is it High Pacific, 808 Pacific, is that right?
That's it, 808 Pacific.
Right. It's right there.
And it's at 6:30 to 9 p.m.
That's right, and it's Wednesday, July 26th.
Okay. And we mustn't forget coffee.
Yes, coffee from JR's is going to be entertainment. And also Zip Short Morgan. She's a local MC at, I believe, Bartini.
Right, yeah.
She's also going to be our MC.
Oh, good. So it's going to be a real presentation. It's going to be a nice, it's going to not only a fundraiser, but a nice party.
Well, exactly. It's also being co-sponsored by Red Nightlife, the GLBT Nightlife Entertainment Lifestyle Magazine.
Oh, yes.
So and they've also arranged Julia's Bistro is going to be serving free appetizers.
Oh.
So we want everyone to come out and have a good time.
Yeah. Well, Somalia. Now, I know that many people may or may not know about HERA. What does HERA do? Now, first of all, let me stop one there. Now, this is a fundraiser, but HERA is a 501c3?
HERA is a 501c3
nonprofit.
Oh,
so they can take it off their taxes. Good, good, good. Just remember that. All right. So now, I'm sorry, Somalia.
Now, HERA's vision, and that's the most important thing, is that they want to be able to provide nothing less than full equality for all people. The Houston Equal Rights Alliance, HERA, it's a nonpartisan alliance of individuals and organizations committed to building and sustaining and to promote equality and respect for gays, lesbians, bisexuals, and transgenders. People through one-on-one conversations, community mobilization, education, and advocacy. HERA has several goals. And just real quick, their main important goals are to create alliances to educate the community and to take legislative action toward them.
Mm-hmm. Now, other than the fundraiser, which we'll come back to, I want to make sure that we get in there. How do you contact HERA if people need some more information or need to talk to somebody?
Easy email address.
Okay.
It is info@Houston, era.org.
Okay.
And they also have a phone number.
Oh, good. What's the phone number?
It's 713-522-4372.
Okay. We've got a fundraiser coming up. All right. We'll go back. But what else is HERA doing now? What events is going on, and what work are they doing now?
Well, I'll tell you right now what we have had just recently, in July. The Equality Texas and Family Pride Coalition, they had what they call the Outspoken Families Training. And we're very proud to say that we had as many people sign up here in Houston as Austin. And
really?
Austin has always
been
a bastion.
To know.
That's right. We had a full crowd. There was a good 50 people there, families, LGBT, GLBT families. And it was a great time. People came away with a lot of information. We also had just recently...
Briefly explain what it was about. Now, some people might not know.
Right, that's true. What it was is that Equality, the Family Pride Coalition, they have been sponsoring different venues throughout the United States to help gay, lesbian, transgender parents deal with the different issues that confront them every day, which is the housing discrimination, from not being allowed to participate in sports, having some kids who are being removed from private schools because of their family situations, and also to how to talk to your children. Like with adoption issues, with children who confront that, I have two mothers or I have two fathers. And it's a very informative, I think when I saw people and when they left, you could see that they came away with a lot of information and a better understanding of not only themselves, but how to deal with the world and how to deal with their children dealing with the world.
Now, are you going to have that event again sometime?
Well, it was only one time in Texas here. It was in San Antonio, in Houston, Austin, and in Dallas.
What sort of follow-up are y'all doing with that?
Well, right now we're in the process. We have everybody that came, and we're going to keep in touch with them. And we're looking at expanding to having different Pride events for families, for the GLBT families here in Houston. And there are a lot of families, but they're the quiet ones that you don't really see out every day.
Well, the last few years, just standing around at the parade and all,
right.
You see lots of families.
You
remember 5 years ago when, walking in the parade, you wouldn't see the small children
exactly.
Wanting beads. They were just having a great time, and now that's the delight of it all.
Well,
if you're walking in it, to see the small children.
That's exactly right. I can remember when I was first out, when you would go to the pride parades and you would see, I'm proud of my gay son, but now you see I'm proud of my gay dads.
Those
kind of signs.
And moms,
that's right.
And I think organizations like this just make it generally so much easier for us as GLBT people to be able to lead a more mainstream life.
But it also gets it out into the public that people are just people. That we're no different than anyone else.
Exactly.
Well, if there's any message we want to get out from GLBT people, is the fact that we're just people too.
Exactly.
Too many times, certain groups, certain types of certain people will try to dehumanize us. We are them or those, and we're not the people that we really are. So, your organization is great about doing that and outreach on that. Anything else? What else is going on?
I think it's really important for us to mention that we need volunteers.
Always.
Volunteer. Well, since y'all two are volunteers.
Right.
We are volunteers.
Go ahead,
please.
We're a volunteer-driven organization. And believe me, there are never enough hands to go around.
Absolutely. And it makes one realize, on an everyday basis, that if we can accept the rights that we get because of all the fight that goes out there through organizations like HERA for our rights, we need to be the ones to step forward as well and volunteer our time, even if it's 1 hour a week.
That's right.
Well, and that's something you said it just then, Samaya, that people don't understand that simply an hour a week doesn't seem like much, but everyone has an extra hour. If they just want to do something with it,
that's exactly right. But we are always looking for volunteers. And another thing that we like to push is that all of the money that we raise for the Houston Equal Rights Alliance stays in Houston. It fights the fight in Houston. And so we want to make sure that it is, it's local dollars working for local issues and building this local community.
Absolutely.
Now, again, going back to the fundraiser, now let's go over one more time where it is, so because we've gone off on another direction, so let's bring up everybody back to our fundraiser.
It is called the Hair Off for Hera Fundraiser. And it is
how clever.
Yeah, I know.
It's
at Wednesday, July 26th from 6:30 to 9 p.m. Mm-hmm. It is at South Beach at 808 Pacific. And like we have Emily Langdon, our field director, who for $2,500 is going to have her head shaved. For another $2,500, which will be a $5,000 total, Jerry Simino, a local civil rights attorney here, is going to have his head shaved. And if we top it off with $7,500 total for the night, State Representative Garnett Coleman has agreed to have his head shaved.
Well, that's almost worth going out and donating a few dollars just to see how far who gets their head shaved.
That's absolutely.
Hopefully all three, huh?
That's right.
Yes.
And it's co-sponsored by Red Nightlife, the GLBT Entertainment and Lifestyle Magazine, and Julia's Bistro. They're also providing appetizers.
Mm-hmm. As well as our wonderful entertainers, Coffee and Zip, Short and Morgan.
And again, how do we get in contact with you?
Very easily. You can contact us by email at info@HoustonERA.org. Or
phone number 713-522-4372.
Now, for people out there that, you know, maybe they don't volunteer, maybe they don't. How did y'all get involved? Yeah, Somalia, how did you really get involved in volunteering with HERA?
I actually started volunteering with PVA, Progressive Voters in Action, years
ago.
So
did I.
Did you really?
Yes.
And then I think it was Equality Texas. Mm-hmm. And then Tammy Wallace, who is the CEO or the president of HERA, is also a good friend of mine, and she's been pestering me for years to get on it.
You kept getting those phone calls and finally answered, huh?
But I did feel that it was my obligation, so I did have a guilty conscience about it, and I'm glad that I'm volunteering again.
I like the way you said that. You know, it's your obligation.
It is.
And I think many of us in the community, you know, we think that, well, just voting is enough.
It's not enough.
And that hour a week, mm-hmm. Especially in this time with elections and all. I mean, mm-hmm. It doesn't matter who you support. Go support someone, mm-hmm. at
Absolutely.
Least.
Absolutely. And I'm not even a citizen, so I'm an immigrant. So, I mean, on that,
oh my God,
on that note, I feel like it is definitely my obligation, even as an immigrant.
So you can stay, right? Ron, how about you? How did you get involved?
Well, actually, I came from California, and I had worked on the Prop 22 campaign in 2000.
Welcome back to America.
Yeah, thank you. And actually, I got involved because I actually met Emily during the Prop 2 campaign, and we actually met up here in the lobby. We were talking about it and became involved.
Yeah, we've had her on a lot over the last year.
Yes, exactly. And there's a lot of good energy that's moving in this city, and we just need to keep it channeled.
Absolutely.
And keep it going the way it's going. It can only get better.
And you were about to say something about, you know, we followed up when you got involved. She called you. What was the what is the things about volunteering that you get the most out of? What's the reward you get?
My guilt conscience is subsided.
Oh,
that makes a big difference in my life. You know, but I was actually going to graduate.
I got rid of mine by just doing what my mother's told me.
I was going to graduate school at night, and so I do have free time now, and I've made it my mission. And you know, working for big corporations where I do have same partner benefits, and I can provide benefits to my partner because of people who work at giving us the rights and working towards our rights, it makes me feel very obligated to giving back to the people who do work for us to give us the rights.
Me, I don't want to have to cross a state line and realize that I lose some right here, a little right there, and I think that every right should be afforded to everyone, no matter where you are in this country. And it's just so important to me to make sure that, like I said, when I get off the plane in California, I know that I'm just as protected as I was when I left Houston, Texas.
I wish that were the case throughout the United States.
Well, one day it will be.
Well, I'm sure it will be.
With volunteers.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
And donations.
And donations.
That's
right.
And that's a good way to curb your guilt conscience,
that
I guess.
That is exactly
if
right.
If you don't have the time, then please donate.
Yeah.
Well, and that's too. Many times people donate and don't get involved, mm-hmm. and sometimes they feel that's enough, but if they can do both.
Right.
Exactly.
And come out and support the organizations like HERA or mm-hmm. the Caucus or, mm-hmm. you know, HRC, whatever group is going to, or volunteer for an individual candidate
mm-hmm.
because that represents our issues and supports our issues. Now, HERA is nonpartisan, right?
That's right. HERA is nonpartisan. It's voter education, and HERA is designed to basically make people in our community understand the issues that we have facing us. So it gives them the chance to make an informed decision for themselves and decide the way that they want to vote, if they want to vote. But we make sure that the issues are made known to our community.
Right.
Through education.
That we're educated.
Yes, through education.
Way.
Are there any specific issues you could mention that you want the audience to know?
Well, you know, the one that we are really looking at that might be coming down the pike in the legislature is they're looking at banning gay adoption in the state.
I understand that.
A serious possibility coming up starting in January. And it's crucial for this community to be mobilized, to know the issue, to know when it could happen, and to fight to prevent it.
Well, and also to know who's running in the current election coming up in November.
And where they stand on that
where
issue.
Where they stand on those
exactly.
issues
yep.
and vote for those people mm-hmm. who will protect us when the votes come up.
That's mm-hmm. exactly right.
You know, we've, unfortunately, as far as the GLBT community ahead, we've had a few legislators tell us one thing here, get our vote, and then go up to Austin and abandon us. And that's what a shame.
And I think that's another reason that HERA is so vital is that you have representatives in the city government, in the state government, and in Congress. As long as we keep our community mobilized and those representatives know that you cannot come here and say one thing to mm-hmm. us and then go and do whatever you feel you need to do to placate the rest of your constituency, we will hold people accountable.
It's accountability in any election, whether it's statewide, whether it's
right.
federal, and
or local.
Oh, well, especially local.
That's right.
All politics is local.
That is exactly right.
And we all care about flooding, and we all care about police protection,
right.
and we all want to be safe and secure in our homes. And it starts mm-hmm. with us supporting those people that want all of us to be protected, mm-hmm. not just some segment of the society.
That is true.
Anything else you want to touch on? I've asked a bunch of questions. Now, what question did I miss?
Well, I really don't know, except for you need to really make sure that you know every single person that comes to come to this fundraiser. It's going to be a fun time.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Everyone.
And you know what? If it goes really well, we may even do a second annual.
Exactly.
Next year, and try to get some more high profile.
Well, their hair will have grown back by then.
Exactly. Well, we might go up the ladders.
Find someone else.
I don't
look at me. It took me too long to grow this.
Well, I don't think the mayor would be up for it. But you know, maybe we could find someone else. So
maybe a trim,
Of course, there's nothing against the mayor, but I just would like everyone to come out because it's important that we build this community, and we need to make sure that this community is strong and this community is together, and that this it's responsive to the needs of this community. And that's what HERA is about, is being responsive to our community.
And where organizations like this can continue to stay alive. And part of that, unfortunately, is accepting the donations and accepting the volunteers.
The volunteers, yeah.
And, again, you need volunteers.
We do.
We always say.
We have a big phone banking project coming up,
that's
right?
We have a phone banking project coming up.
When is that going to happen?
Well, we're having them on Tuesdays and on Thursday nights. We're having them usually from 6:30 until 8:30. You can reach us once again at info at HoustonERA.org, or you can call us.
And that is the easiest volunteer time. I mean, you're in an air-conditioned room. You know, you just talk to people on the phone. It's very, very relaxed.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
People talk to their friends on the phone, and they'll just be talking to friends.
And you might be talking to friends while, you know, because we
identify most of these people who we call.
That's right. Exactly.
Are these people like ourselves? Are these GLBT community people? Or
it's GLBT community people and GLBT friendly
people.
Yeah. It's people that are concerned about. They have stated they are concerned about our issues, and they want to be kept informed of our issues.
Exactly.
Okay, so we know we've got the fundraiser coming up, but we need volunteers. Mm-hmm. You've got a phone bank. Mm-hmm. You've got education for the public. What else do we need to cover on this? Well, there's bound to be something we're missing.
Yeah, we actually have what we're doing right now at Pride. Probably several people saw our booth, the Herald booth. Well, you would come by, and we would have people fill out these pledge cards. These pledge cards not only have people's names and information, but it also states on there that you, as a voter, are making sure that every state representative or every elected official is held accountable for any actions taken to discriminate against the GLBT community here in Houston. We have to get those in our database. We're going to send these cards to our legislators.
We need some people just to sit down at the computer, don't you? Yes.
If you have magic fingers on a computer, we could take you.
Now, where do they go to do that, and how would they volunteer for that?
Well, we're located at the Houston Gay and Lesbian Community Center, mm-hmm. which is 3400 Montrose at Suite 207. I'm there every day. The doors open at 10 o'clock, and sometimes they don't close till 9 or 10.
All right. So that's where, if they want to help, is that for the phone booth, or is this for inputting the data?
Well, that's for the phone bank, and it's also for the data entry.
Okay, is there any other locations they can go?
That is it.
Okay.
That is it.
But you guys are there almost all the time, so I mean, if you just want to come by and just see the facilities and meet one of us.
Come sit down, and we're very friendly,
very open. Absolutely.
And if the door's open, we're there.
Exactly.
If the light's on, you're there.
I've
been by there, yeah.
Right. But you can reach us 713-522-4372.
And the email address?
And the email is info@HoustonERA.org.
Okay. Now, one more time before we can wrap this up.
Okay.
Now, the fundraiser is on this Wednesday.
The 26th is Wednesday,
2 days from now. So remember that. Take your calendars out. Mark it down. Give them the rest of the information.
It is July 26th, Wednesday. It's called the Hair Off for Hera fundraiser at South Beach at 808 Pacific. And we are going to be raising money and shaving people's heads. And we're going to have, if we reach our top goal, which is $7,500, State Representative Garnett Coleman has agreed to shave his head.
Well, you're going to have someone do it for him.
Oh, yes. No. We will have a professional that will do it. And we also have coffee from JR's. Uh-huh. And we have
free appetizers. Don't forget the free appetizers.
Yes, from Julia's
After
Bistro.
After work, everyone's going to be hungry, and they'll get the free appetizers.
That's right. You know, you can mosey out of JR's and just come on over to South Beach.
Okay. We don't want to get anybody in trouble here. Okay.
But Julia's Bistro is going to be providing the appetizers, and Red Nightlife magazine is going to be co-sponsoring it with Houston Equal Rights Alliance.
All right. Well, thank you all very much. One last time, let's give the phone number.
Phone number is 713-522-4372, and the email
is info@HoustonERA.org.
Now, you always need volunteers.
Always.
And phone banking,
data
an hour a week, just anything you can do to put some time into it.
That's right.
Thank you again.
Thank you,
John. We've been talking with Ron Hill and Somalia.
Rizvi.
Like a frisbee, right?
Right.
And thank you. You're listening to Queer Voices.
I know the anger that lies inside me, like I know the beat of my heart.
You make me feel.
You would rather not witness their mouths drawn down along the edges, their eyebrows raised, not in anticipation, but in the dread of, please don't talk about this now.
Welcome to This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Mideast hostilities cripple Jerusalem World Pride plans, a Latvian mob dumps on Pride proponents, and Black writer Glaive turns life lessons into literature. All that and more this week because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm John Beaupre.
And I'm Charles Hall.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending July 22nd, 2006. There's been another casualty of the Middle East crisis. Police officials denied a parade permit this week to Jerusalem Open House, the main organizers of the World Pride Festival, scheduled for August 6th through 12th in the Holy City. They say that they're unable to assure a safe environment for the march because of ongoing hostilities in the region and the excessive stress it puts on police staffing. A published statement by Open House co-chair Haggai El-Ad said, "We feel it would be neither responsible nor appropriate to hold the march until such time that circumstances allow for a safe and peaceful gathering for all." But he said that a powerful event to replace the parade is in the works. While he wouldn't provide details, El-Ad told widely syndicated gay journalist Rex Wachner that the alternative action in Jerusalem will focus on expressing our outrage at the ongoing violence and incitement in the name of religion against our community. Among the cultural aspects of the World Pride Week that are still scheduled are a multi-faith LGBT clergy conference, an outdoor festival, Human Rights Day, Health Day, International Youth Conference, and a film festival. The event, staged in a different world city every 4 years, was to have been held in Jerusalem last year around this time, but it was postponed due to the Israeli pullout from Gaza. This year's World Pride Festival, especially the parade, has been under fire from conservative religious groups from both within and outside Israel, including Muslims, Jews, and especially from the U.S., fundamentalist Christians. Late this week, the head of Eda Haredit, an extreme Orthodox Jewish group, blamed World Pride for the ongoing attacks on Israel by the extremist Islamic group Hezbollah. "We have not protested enough against this parade of abomination," said Rabbi Moshe Sternbuck, "and therefore we have received this warning."
Citing security concerns, city officials in Riga this week banned a pride march in the Latvian capital that had been scheduled for July 22nd. Organizers said that they were disappointed, but that they would obey the ban, deciding to hold a conference later that day at a Riga hotel. But hundreds of protesters chanted anti-gay slogans and hurled eggs and bags of feces at about 50 LGBT rights supporters as they left a church service in support of sexual minorities earlier in the day. Dutch European parliamentarian Sophie Intveld was among several international supporters at the church service who were victimized by the assault. The Reverend Maris Sands, co-organizer of the Pride event, told Reuters that security police have been informed about the church service but failed to provide protection. Anglican Latvian American pastor Juris Kalitis, who led the service, said that he too was pelted by waste. He accused Latvian churches of stirring up anti-gay sentiment in the Baltic country. 5 people were reportedly detained later in connection with the incident. Latvia, a new member of the European Union, is sure to come under renewed fire for the Pride assaults. It has thus far failed to enact anti-discrimination legislation to protect gays and lesbians, a requirement for EU membership. At a news conference, Spanish European Parliament member Raúl Romeva said the European Union was founded on equal rights and freedom for all. "We are asking for more respect, including respect for our sexual orientation," he said. Outside, some 80 protesters gathered to shout derogatory names at people representing Pride organizers. A German tourist, Lothar Kietstein, said that he was shocked by the protesters, many of whom were wearing T-shirts emblazoned with sexually explicit anti-gay messages. "I've never seen something like this," he told the Associated Press. "It's like the Middle Ages," he said.
In happier Pride news, an estimated 150,000 people turned out for Berlin's colorful Christopher Street Day Parade on July 22nd, as several dozen floats carrying dancers, some in feathered rainbow costumes, others wearing almost nothing at all, wove through the heart of the city. Berlin's openly gay mayor, Klaus Wowereit, praised the peaceful party mood, saying that it was a true chance to really fight for tolerance.
And about 300 people marched in the first ever Pride Parade in Porto, Portugal on July 8th. The city, Portugal's second largest, has had Pride events since 2001, but never a parade. The march started at the location where transgender woman Gisberta was killed this year, then proceeded through the narrow streets of the old city to a rally point in a central square near City Hall. In February, Gisberta was beaten, stoned, stomped, burned, and sexually assaulted with a stick for 2 days, then thrown alive into a deep pit at the abandoned building where she lived. 14 boys admitted involvement in the crime. Their trial, closed to the public, is underway.
The hangings of 2 gay teenagers in Iran on July 19th last year, with its gruesome photos widely distributed online, were remembered this week in cities around the world. While the official line from Tehran was that the 2 young men had raped a 13-year-old boy, sources inside Iran said their real crime was consensual homosexual activity with each other, and that the rape charge was complete fiction. David Allison of the group Outrage in London called the teens' painful deaths absolutely abhorrent. To execute people simply because they are gay or have had gay sex just isn't acceptable in the 21st century, he said. In a letter to the UN, the Persian Gay and Lesbian Organization demanded that a ban be placed on the execution of homosexuals and legal protections be provided to them in Iran. According to various international human rights groups, up to 4,000 gay, lesbian, and transgender Iranians have been put to death during the past 27 years of Islamic rule because of their sexual orientation or gender identity. Protests, vigils, and other events to memorialize the teen executions and call for changes in Iran were scheduled on the July 19th one-year anniversary in Toronto, Vancouver, Dublin, Mexico City, Milan, Gloucester, Warsaw, London, Berlin, Brussels, Amsterdam, Stockholm, Marseille, Moscow, Vienna, New York City, Chicago, San Diego, San Francisco, Sacramento, Fort Lauderdale, Seattle, Salt Lake City, Provincetown, Washington, D.C., Tulsa, Oklahoma, and Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Zimbabwe has banned any public expression of same-gender love. The government of rabidly anti-queer dictator Robert Mugabe has made it a criminal offense for two people of the same gender to hold hands, hug, or kiss. The new sexual deviancy law is one of 15 additions to Zimbabwe's criminal code quietly passed in Parliament last week. The revised law expands the definition of sodomy to now include any behavior involving contact between two males that would be regarded by a reasonable person as an indecent act. Critics charge that the latest anti-queer laws are an attempt by Mugabe to further scapegoat lesbians and gay men and divert attention from the poor economic conditions in his country. The 82-year-old Mugabe earlier this year called homosexuality a white disease. Leave whites to do that, he said.
But the South Pacific island nation of Fiji has apparently stopped prosecuting consensual gay sex. The penal code there outlaws sodomy, punishable by up to 15 years in prison. Lesbians are not mentioned. It wasn't clear if any laws have been formally changed, but the Fijian High Commissioner last week confirmed what were called unofficial policy changes, that men engaging in consensual gay sex will no longer be arrested. Changing cultural attitudes may take a while, however. Last year, an Australian gay tourist and a local Fijian were given 2-year prison terms for illegal gay sex. The magistrate who sentenced them said their actions would make any decent person vomit. They were released after intense international pressure.
And finally, the so-called federal marriage amendment was defeated yet again in the U.S. House of Representatives this week. The vote to add a ban on same-gender marriage to the U.S. Constitution, vocally supported by President George W. Bush, was 236 to 187. That fell 46 votes short of the two-thirds majority needed. Most Republican lawmakers voted for it and most Democrats against. The proposal failed again and again along mostly party lines last month in the Senate. Critics claim that the Republican leadership knew it didn't have the votes it needed, but resurrected the issue during this election year, as it's done in the past, to rally religious conservatives. According to a June poll by the Pew Research Center, 55% of Americans oppose same-gender marriage, down from 60% in August 2004. The survey also found that Americans almost universally rank many issues as more important, including the economy, terrorism, health care, and education.
That's News Wrap for the week ending July 22, 2006, written by Greg Gordon and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community. For This Way Out, I'm Charles Hall.
And I'm John Beaupre.
There was both sad and happy queer couples news this week. The landmark lawsuit in their name led to equal marriage rights in Massachusetts, but Julie and Hillary Goodridge have separated. The women are amicably living apart, according to their spokesperson, Mary Breslauer, who added that they are no longer in the public eye and request that their privacy be respected. She declined to comment on how long the couple has been separated or whether they plan to divorce. But Darren Hayes, the former lead singer of Australian pop group Savage Garden, has civilly united in a London ceremony with his male partner of 2 years, Richard Cullen. Savage Garden sold more than 20 million albums worldwide in the 5 years before the band split up in 2001. Hayes announced on his website this week that he'd married Cullen on June 19th under the UK's civil partnership law. "I'm proud of who I am," he writes now on his website, "and after what felt like an eternity, I'm finally in a place where my heart is secure and content." He's dedicated his new single, So Beautiful, to Cullen. Thomas Glave is the only black gay writer, besides James Baldwin, to win the prestigious O. Henry Prize for fiction. The New York Times dubbed him a gifted stylist after the publication of his widely acclaimed first book, Whose Song and Other Stories. His most recent work, Words to Our Now, is a collection of powerful essays that earned Glave this year's Lambda Literary Award for nonfiction. The essays draw upon his experience as a politically committed Jamaican American. This Way Out's Brian Goble caught up with Glave during his recent visit to San Francisco.
In a speech to black LGBT writers in 2002, Thomas Glave described how two simple words, language and imagination, have everything to do with his work as a black gay writer. If the elders bequeathed anything at all, Glave writes, it was language, prismatic language, polished out of struggle and rage. The elders he refers to are luminaries like Audre Lorde, James Baldwin, Essex Hemphill. Hemphill, who died in 1995, was featured in Marlon Riggs' groundbreaking films Tongues Untied and Anthem. Here, with excerpts from those films, Glave pays homage to Hemphill, reading from an essay in Words to Our Now.
This is going to be from re-recalling Essex Hemphill, Words to Our Now. "So you exhorted and exhort us still to question ourselves, Essex, and to act bravely, humanely, in the questioning. You showed us, and we note. Lynchings have not stopped, but now proceed smoothly on automatic pilot. Assaults against abortion clinics progress from tightly clutched rifles aimed at doctors and patients to stunningly well-hurled bombs. Black churches are torched to skulking ash. A Ghanaian immigrant, Amadou Diallo, is riddled with bullets by police in a city known to boast of its worldliness and internationalism, New York. Affirmative action shrivels. A gay man in Alabama, Billy Jack Gaither, is beaten to death, his dead body incinerated atop an ignoble pyre of two car tires, as a young gay Wyoming student's skull is literally smashed before his comatose form is tied to a fence. Matthew Shepard. Haitian refugees are scorned in South Florida and remanded to the poverty, violence, and state repression they fled. A white supremacist, Buford Furrow, fires shots into a Jewish community center, wounding several children, as he issues his personal, quote, wake-up call to America to kill all the Jews, unquote. AIDS and cancer flare among people of color. Women and children vanish from city streets and reappear eviscerated on rural root shoulders, and right-wing hate mongers smile upon it all. Now, right now, somewhere, black women, black lesbians are being raped, battered, assaulted. Now, right now, black men, black gay men are running for their lives from baseball bats, knives, ravenous police. A butchered drag queen floats face down in a river as another struts fiercely on in her own image. A black baby shudders for the taste of crack. A black teenager contemplates suicide or suicide on the installment plan, drugs. Two black men on death row yearn to hold each other. Two black women seeking heat and shelter for their children dream somehow of kissing each other's breasts. And which of us, you asked, will be there to testify? What is our responsibility for their survival, you demanded, and what part do we claim in their silence? What is our responsibility to all of them, we must ask, as you wanted us to ask, and which of their faces, Essex, are in fact our own?
Thomas Glave, reading from Re-Recalling Essex Hemphill, Words to Our Now. Thomas, what led you to write this essay?
I actually was asked to write this essay, or to write an essay about Essex, for a memorial of sorts, a kind of a celebration of his life that was going to be held at a Different Light bookstore in New York, still in New York at the time, in the late 1990s. And I'd never met Essex personally, but I knew that he meant a great deal to me, the work he'd done, the poems he'd written, the words he'd written in his prose and so on, his very presence. And I felt very, very compelled to pick up the lessons that he'd left behind for us in all that work, the way Audre Lorde had done, and James Baldwin had done, and Joseph Beam had done, and to put them into a kind of recapitulation, in a sense, in this essay, of what exactly I felt he'd left us as a legacy that we then would be compelled to take forth and to make something of our own out of in this present time. The present time so troubled, but the lessons were already there. So the language provided a blueprint, as it were, right? A means of progressing, doing that difficult work that he had done, that others had done.
In America, I place my reign on your where it belongs. No horsemen bearing terror, no soldiers of doom will swoop in and sweep us apart. They're too busy looting the land to watch us. They don't know we need each other critically. They expect us to call in sick, watch television all night, die by our own hands. They don't know we are becoming powerful. Every time we kiss, we confirm the new world coming.
It does seem like his poetry is so timeless that what he wrote about, for example, in the 80s, still very much applies to today, 2006.
Well, I think that it's particularly interesting that you say the 80s, because, of course, he was writing during the era of Reagan and Reaganomics and Star Wars and all of that. And we're dealing with very much now a similar kind of regime under the Bush administration. Bush the younger, of course, right? Bush the elder would have inherited Reagan's administration. And that particular kind of right-wing supremacy that has obtained in the United States for really, in some ways, since the very beginning of the nation as the United States is something that we as LGBT people of all colors have to contend with, whether we like it or not. And I think that Essex's struggles during that time as a black gay man and as a black gay man dealing with AIDS and HIV, right, as well as other concerns, including obviously racism that endures, are particularly cogent, are particularly relevant to our struggles today, given what's going on with the war in Iraq, with the assault on immigrant realities, with the assaults on LGBT life and existence, and also marriage and so on, all of this stuff. It's still very, very relevant today, if not more so.
I know the anger that lies inside me, like I know the beat of my heart and the taste of my spit. It is easier to be angry than to hurt. Anger is what I do best. It is easier to be furious than to be yearning. Easier to crucify myself and you than to take on the threatening universe of whiteness by admitting we are worth wanting each other.
Brother to brother, brother to brother, brother to brother, brother to brother.
This is Essex Hemphill, reminding you that you've tuned into This Way Out, the international gay and lesbian radio magazine.
And homophobia, turn me around. Keep on walking, keep on talking, marching on the freedom.
You're listening to a reading and conversation with the author Thomas Glave. I'm Brian Goble in San Francisco. In another of his essays in Words to Our Now, Glave exposes the hypocrisies and contradictions of some of his liberal heterosexual friends. This essay is titled, On the Difficulty of Confiding with Complete Love and Trust in Some Heterosexual Friends.
I'll just read a brief excerpt from it. And well, but there they are again, as they have always been, responding to your disclosures with the same reactions, the same slightly clenched fists. Why must he speak about these things and those people, their fists say? Isn't it enough that we care about him? Why must he bring all of them into it, their furrowed brows tell you once more? The same glazed over eyes. No, we don't want to have to imagine when he speaks about desire, how those people have sex with each other. Please, no. Then that familiar hooding of their eyes. Their voices sand thickened, that awful twitching somewhere south of the nose, and the chin at the sullen edge of its own precipice, half-mastedly holding its own against outrightly communicated disgust. Now your hands and throat itch toward providing some sign that you wish to speak to them about him, about what it has been like and will be like to be with him. As you privately exult in the sway swing of his hips when he walks toward you, when he walks away from you, you note how they, halfway attendant, clear once more their throats. You see how their eyes roll and how, so skittishly, they hem and haw about how the dishes simply must be cleared from the table right now. The end of a dinner party to which they invited you, at which few other non-heterosexual people were present. They mutter about how the children must now be put to bed because, well, yes, they would sleep down here in the living room if we let them, can you imagine? And that we'd never be able to talk amongst ourselves, would we? And, of course, what they imagine you have to say in all its filth and perversity, words they would never use in front of you, isn't fit for children's ears. It never is, they have made tacitly clear time and time again. And so, as you stutter towards some form of speaking, you learn that they must make some urgent phone call. Yes, to Kuala Lumpur, Port Said, Dar es Salaam, Dallas, or no. They must tune into some critical TV show, an epic series on the melting polar ice caps, or the latest word on the continuing chemical ruination of inland seas. They must wash their hands, vacuum crumbs off the tablecloth, or they must run out quickly, very quickly, for something earlier forgotten. It will be a loaf of bread this time, although you are certain that you saw, didn't you? Two full, fresh loaves in the kitchen, atop the gleaming white refrigerator, as usual, right next to the tongue-clucking, Swiss-fashioned clock. Is it painful, their avoidance, awkwardness and downright rejection of you and those for whom you care? Well, yes, of course. Of course it hurts. Deeply. Severely. As always, you would rather not witness their mouths drawn down along the edges, their eyebrows raised, not in anticipation, but in the dread of, please don't talk about this now, their faces say, we just can't handle it. You would rather deny that their faces are plainly stating that they positively do not want to know that part of you that has everything to do with deep feelings for other men, with the essential human need to love, to desire, to be loved. But we don't want to, and so will not imagine it, their eyebrows say. We're better off not knowing, and we wish that you would have enough decorum not to force it down our throats. And what an image, you think. As if you, non-soldier, complete pacifist, never a torturer for even one day in your life, could ever, outside of intimate and consensual engagement, successfully force anything down anyone's throat.
Thomas Glave reading again from his book Words to Our Now. Talk, if you could, Thomas, about what inspired you to write this essay.
Well, I put the word friends in quotes because I do believe that some of these people I've written about or alluded to really do love me and probably care very much for the people, the gay people they're friends with whom they'd rather not discuss these matters. But that's the complication of human relationships, isn't it? That it's not that easy to say, I'm going to disavow these people now, these heterosexual people, and say to hell with them because they really don't care for me. Because they do care for me, but it's a friendship that's with conditions, as all friendships are, as all relationships are, with conditions. But in this case, the conditions become more intolerable as time goes on because the conditions demand an excision of the self, of the gay self, right? They demand an erasure of the gay self, which I find not only problematic, but really impossible. But how does one talk about it? I didn't really know how to talk about it. I didn't really have a language to talk about it with these people because I felt that language would have been confrontational, and it wasn't a confrontation that I was necessarily prepared to make. But in the world of writing, I suppose, in the universe of the imagined language, the language of imagination, I could conjure a language there to speak to the issue and to speak to myself and to speak to them.
Thomas Glave, thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Brian.
Thomas Glave is the author of Words to Our Now, Imagination and Dissent. It's published by the University of Minnesota Press. He teaches at SUNY Binghamton in New York. For This Way Out, I'm Brian Goble in San Francisco.
Thanks for tuning in to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. This week, John Beaupre, Charles Hall, Rex Wattner, Bill Kelly, Graham Underhill, J.D. Doyle, and Brian Goble contributed program material, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can listen online to This Way Out exclusively at outinamerica.com. Click on the features link on their front page, or use the link at the top of thiswayout.org. Most This Way Out operating expenses are funded by direct charitable donations from our listeners. Thank you. Log on to thiswayout.org to see how you can help keep this program on the air and choose from some special LGBT history, music, and culture CD thank you gifts. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on KOPN, Columbia, Missouri, WHRW, Binghamton, New York, 7THE Hobart, Tasmania, and more than 150 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned.
At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT in Houston. Now, more of Queer Voices with Jack Valensky, Joan Devlin, and Glenn Holt.
Hey!
Queer Music Heritage
on KPFT in Houston.
Doll is a song that I feel sort of sums up an existence of anyone who is different growing up in elementary school and in high school, and sort of the liberation that hopefully one attains when they reach adulthood. And I wanted to write a pop song that had a sense of humor, but also that had something to say. You know, there's been so many people that have come to me and said, I played with dolls when I was younger, and that song really speaks to me.
That song was called Doll, and it's the title track from the award-winning album by Kevin Cahoon. And before it started, you heard him talk about it. Kevin was one of the winners in June at the Out Music Awards, and that's what this show is all about. I'm J.D. Doyle. This segment is called Queer Music Heritage, and I'm here on the fourth Monday of each month to bring you an hour devoted to our culture's music. But this month, I'm going to forgo the heritage part and bring you some of the best queer music to be released during 2005, because that music was honored at the Out Music Awards. Okay, if you're a fan of GLBT music and don't know about the organization Out Music, well, you should. It was founded in New York City about 16 years ago, intended to be a group of artists helping each other. In fact, their slogan is Music Within Community and Community Within Music. This is the sixth annual awards event for Out Music, and it was held in New York City. It was several days packed full of artist showcases and performances leading up to the main awards event held at the Knitting Factory. I was honored to have been asked again this year to be one of the judges for the awards, and the show itself was a wonderful showcase of queer music. If you want to hear a more news-oriented report on the awards, complete with clips from the acceptance speeches, that story was aired on This Way Out earlier this month, but can also be heard on demand at my website,
But for tonight, I'm going to try and keep my talking down to a minimum so I can fit in as much music as possible. You're going to hear quite a variety of music touching on a lot of different genres. And besides playing songs by the winners, you'll also hear some extras. Now, as I told you a few moments ago, I started off the show with Kevin Cahoon, a quadruple nominee for his album Doll. The Album Music Awards are nicknamed the OMAs, and he picked up his OMA for the category of Outstanding Debut Recording Male. The variety of the music of the winning albums makes itself clear right away with the category of Outstanding Debut Recording Female. The recipient was soprano Melissa Fogarty for her classical album, Handel, Scorned, and Betrayed. From it, here's a little of a selection called CC del Gran Tirano. To admit, this is not a genre I gravitate towards, but when I was in New York, I got to see Melissa Fogarty perform, and she was amazing. Okay, I've told you who received the Out Music Awards for Debut Male and Female. Let's get to the more established male and female album categories. The OMA for Outstanding New Recording Male went to an artist who is no stranger to winning these awards. He won this same award in 2003, along with two others, for his album Out of the Loop. This time he won for a 2-CD album called Soul Sex, and his name is Mark Weigel. Now I want to add that besides being a wonderfully crafted and performed album, I think it's also a very brave album. Mark has always had the ability in his writing to touch the very core of various aspects of what it means to be a gay man in this country, but in this album he digs deeper. He sings about many of the sexual aspects that polite gay politicos would rather not discuss, but they are indeed part of the culture. With all that, many of the songs are not ready for radio, but I want to share one of them that certainly is, called And I Love Horses.
I know I am blessed as we race across this land. The wind is in our noses and the leather's in my head. I love the smell of sagebrush in the rain. I love that I can tell the season by the range. I love the land that's been shaped by nature's forces. I love my men and I love horses. Falls down on me, and after when we whisper, then I hold him while he sleeps. I love the sound of thunder in the night. I love when we make love just as the sky turns light. Take its courses. I love my men and I love horses.
That was Mark Weigel. Next, for Outstanding New Recording Female, I happen to have been a judge in this category, and in my opinion, the competition was harder here than in any other. The artists not selected are all superb talents and included Leah Delaria, Jen Foster, Magdalene Sue Lee, Candy Kane, and Toshi Reagan. But I'm pleased with the result, as I love the winning album. It's by Nedra Johnson, and it's just called Nedra. And from it, here is a song also nominated for Outsong of the Year, Any Way You Need Her.
You know, there's many religions in the world, and people call on God in all kinds of different ways, and I believe it's by the intentions of your heart. God will hear your call. So all you gotta do is call. And any way you need God, I believe in my heart God will come.
Any way you need her, she will come.
Yeah.
Any way you need her, she will come.
Oh yeah, by the intentions of your heart, know that you can call on God. And any way you need her, she will come. That's why I say Jesus is a lesbian. And any way you need her, she will come. And if for you to see the light, you got to be male, long blonde hair and white. Sing hallelujah, I know she'll come.
Any way you need her, she will come.
Hey, yeah.
Any way you need her, she will come.
The intentions of your heart, know that you can call on God. And any way you need her, she will come. Come on, big bro, tell them what you know. Jesus is a fierce gay man, and anytime you can, I know he can. But if for you to see the light, you gotta be asexual and white. Hallelujah, hallelujah, he will come.
Any way you need her, she will come.
I say she, cause she might be what I need.
Any
when I
way
need
you
her.
Need her, she will come.
I know she'll come. By the intentions of your heart, for you can always count on God. And
any way you need her, she will come.
That was a little of Any Way You Need Her by Nedra Johnson. And as the Out Music Awards expanded to 15 categories this year, that's more to cover, so unfortunately I won't be able to play complete songs, but I will give you a good taste of the quality of the music. And one of the new categories was for inspirational recording. Now this does not just encompass religious-oriented albums, as the nominees also included spoken word and political recordings. But the winning album was indeed a spiritual one by Marcia Stevens, who now goes by Marcia Stevens Pino, adding on the last name of her partner, Cindy. 2 years ago, Out Music gave Marcia a special recognition award, and I think it's very neat that now she got an award for one of her albums. Here's a little of the title track from that album, You Called Us Good.
Created in your image, from heaven's point of view, you made us all so different, and yet we're just like you. You know us best, yet love us most. Imperfect works of art, others see the outer shell, but you know us by heart. You call
to make a musical jump to another new category this year for Out Music, the one for Outstanding Video. Well, you can see the video on the artist's site, but of course all I can do here is share a bit of the music. Here's Caswell with Do You Want to Break Up.
Well, do you want to break up, baby? Because I'm not really feeling the way that I was. And if you notice that I haven't called you back lately, maybe we got something, but I saw something that great. And do you want to break up, baby? Because I'm not really feeling the way that I was. And if you notice that I haven't called you back lately, maybe we got something, but I saw something.
Well, I
And if and we met, I was heels head over. But that's when I was drunk. And now I'm sober. You asked me to come over to your love shack. You had an ass to smack in. I like it like that. One thing led to another and another. I guess I was a sucker for your olive skin. Run them into any skin. After enough gin. Next thing, we're having dinner. Brunch, lunch. Before I know you're calling U-Haul to ask how much for a truck. But all I want to do is...
Okay, that's about all I can play of that song without attracting the attention of the FCC. That was Caswell. He has another very interesting video called I Buy My Socks on 14th Street. And from hip-hop, we're going next to punk for the group Triple Cream. They received the OMA for Outstanding New Recording by a Band for their album This Might Hurt. From it is Brooklyn. As you've seen, the recipients of the awards this year span many genres of music, but it was an especially good year for classical music. You've already heard that Melissa Fogarty won for Debut Female Album, and there were two more classical winners. Composer David Del Tredici won for Outstanding New Recording Instrumental for his creation, Paul Revere's Ride.
Hardly a man is now alive to remember that famous day, and you to remember that famous day, and you.
And sharp listeners noticed that I switched in the middle to Mozart Symphony No. 41. That was from an album by Boston Baroque. It was one of three albums produced by Thomas C. Moore, and the work on those albums got him the Out Music Award for Outstanding Producer. And as long as we're jumping from genre to genre, up next is the category of Outstanding New Recording by a Chorus or Choir. And I thought it was pretty neat that it was won by a group that had the first ever recording by a gay chorus in 1981. That's the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus, and they also won this award last year. And this year, they had two albums nominated. But they won for their Christmas album, Home for the Holidays, Live at the Castro Theater. From it, here's a touch of Coming Out on Christmas. While in New York, I took lots and lots of photos of the artists I met and saw perform. And on my site, you can see photos of the winning albums and the artists, and find links to their sites. My site, of course, is at www.queermusicheritage.com. And this is a good time to remind you to listen to After Hours with Jimmy Carper every Saturday night, Sunday morning, from 1 to 4 a.m. on KPFT Houston. It's Queer Radio with Attitude.
Queer Music Heritage
on KPFT in Houston.
And I want to thank the group The Bootlickers for making me that wonderful intro that I also used to start the show. I'm going to take a break from the competitive awards to let you know about the special recognition awards given out this year by Out Music. The Outstanding Support Award was given to Kathy Reiser, who for the last 10 years has been the host and producer of Out Loud and Queer on WJFF Radio Catskill in Jeffersonville, New York. She's also the founder of a now annual event called Day to Be Gay in the Catskills, celebrating its sixth year this September. Another special recognition award was given to Junior Vasquez. His name is hardly new to fans of dance music due to his expertise as a DJ, remixer, and producer of both famous and new artists. And the last honorary award is one a bit closer to my heart. It's the Out Music Heritage Award, which went to Tom Wilson Weinberg. In the late 70s, Tom began singing queer-themed songs in gay coffee houses in Philadelphia, which led to his 1979 album, Gay Name Game, one of the earliest of that genre. He also brought queer lyrics to musical theater for several productions, including The 10% Review and Get Used to It, and continues with new projects to this day. On a more personal note, to the best of my memory, Tom's music was the first lyrically gay music that I ever heard. I was fresh out of the closet and living in Norfolk, Virginia, and a gay group I was active in brought Tom down from Philadelphia for a concert. In fact, he and his lover John were my house guests that weekend. There are a lot of songs by Tom that I could pick to share with you, but I've always liked this one called My Leviticus.
Man shall lie with man if they both want to. Woman shall lie with woman if they want to. And at the very least, beast shall lie with beast if they both want to. That's my Leviticus. Women shall take the lead if they want to. Men may spill their seed if they want to. And those who wish to rate don't need to procreate if they don't want to. That's my Leviticus. A word is due here for the children. For they have nothing to repent. And who came up with the idea that children can't consent? They can if they want to. Walking hand in hand shall be the custom. Peace throughout the land shall be the rule. And those who wish to love shall follow the above. If they want to. That's my Leviticus.
From his 1979 album, Gay Name Game, that was Tom Wilson Weinberg, who back then just went by Tom Wilson. I've not mentioned yet that Alex Olson and Ari Gold were the very capable co-hosts of the Out Music Awards ceremony, and they both received awards in past years. Alex Olson is a spoken word artist, a folk poet, and a queer artist activist. And Ari Gold is a chart-topping pop and dance singer-songwriter. Of course, they both performed during the awards ceremony, and I want to share a little of what the audience enjoyed. First, Alex does one of her most acclaimed works called Independence Meal, and she's backed up on keyboards by Luke Parkin, a nominee for Outstanding Instrumental Album.
It's the 4th of July in Denver. The men are lined up for their Independence Meal. It's a lonely single file. It snakes around the block. It's a packed up picnic dinner prepared for those that Liberty forgot. And the brown box goes swollen around the treetops like the flashing types of my Soul City cops who don't like my bumper stickers or the state that I am from. But it's the state of my head that mostly offends them, distinctly diagrammed on the ass of my station wagon. And the works of fire take their shape, big blue stars that crumple and fade. It's a super sparkly air raid. And the sky hangs false with the burden of proof, begrudging allegiance to a twilight that burns. And the red glare of liberation is blinding, and the line of hungry men is slowly unwinding for their independence meal. Their independence meal.
Ari Gold is a two-time Out Music Award winner, but I want to share part of his appearance that was on a much more serious level. Leading up to his song, here are part of his remarks about his friend and Out Music member, Kevin Aviance.
This is sort of on a somber note, and I didn't really prepare what I was going to say, so I hope that I don't start crying, because I've been pretty emotional all day about this. We were supposed to have somebody presenting the award to Junior today, who is a phenomenal artist, really one of my favorite performers in New York City and ever. His name is Kevin Aviance. Kevin has had tons of number one singles on the Billboard charts, and he has been inspiring people, gay people, in all over the world. He goes performing all over the world and really brings something that is indescribable, and really that sense of community that we've been talking about tonight. I mean, nobody does that to me more than Kevin, actually, as far as bringing people together and making you feel like we're in this together. Unfortunately, on Friday, Kevin was the victim of a gay bashing. And he's okay, he's fine. He had to undergo some surgery for his jaw. He was beat a few times in the head. And he's going to be fine. He couldn't come here, obviously. So my thoughts and our thoughts and prayers go out to him. You know, it's stuff like that happens to us reminds us of why we're here and why we're doing what we're doing and why we're fighting for the same rights, equal rights and human rights. and why we choose to be out as artists. Hopefully one day we will not have to be reminded in that way. This is a song about that.
Hate will subside and love will take over. After the moon shifts the tide, that's when love will take over. Love will take over. If you think there's something better out there in this world, you just got to feel it. Something undeniable deep in your soul. Don't we still need peace? We will find a way to make it a better day. Don't we still have hope? Not gonna let them bring us down. We're gonna turn our world around. Hate will subside, love will take over. After the moon shifts the tide, love will take over. Can't run or hide, it's here to take over. Now, it's all we have left to decide, love will take over.
Again, that was Ari Gold performing live at the Out Music Awards, doing an acoustic version of his dance hit, Love Will Take Over. This is my annual tribute show to the winners of the Out Music Awards, and I always like to set aside a little time to play some music by artists who were nominated but did not win. I'm going to use a producer's prerogative in playing them, because I think they are artists you should really get to hear. So I've picked four who were nominated in a variety of categories. I just love their albums and want to share these songs from them, so I am squeezing in about a minute or so of each one. First up is a double nominee, the duo Wishing Chair, with their album Underdog being nominated for the duo or group category. This song,
every year, tens of thousands,
for Out Song of the Year.
See, I wear a ring. You want to know what gives us the right, what authority we can show. We can show. Now I do my best for her. She does her best for me. 9 years steady. Tobacco barn, 100 friends and family doing grievous harm, upsetting the government, breaking the law.
Levi Christ was nominated for New Recording Male and Songwriter for his wonderful album, One of the Ones, and his song, Man Out of Me, was nominated for Out Song of the Year. I think it's an important song, as it deals with the almost secret subject of domestic abuse in a gay relationship.
Something that I never said, a story that I've never shared. I was only 20 years old, he was a love affair. Soon became a humble home, wrecked with animosity. Took it to the bottle and turned around and took it out on me. And I was just a boy, a scrawny little boy, a naive,
man out of me.
Man Out of Me by Levi Christ. And Levi gave me a terrific interview for my January show. And you can hear the whole song and him talk about it there. And I've got to share with you a little of the song that got Brian Lane Green a nomination for Out Song of the Year. It's called Dad and Me, and is the true story of how he and his father had very different approaches to being gay.
I was raised in a town of 30,000 in the hills of Tennessee. Went to church on a Wednesday, twice on Sunday. Religion is in my genealogy. Son of a preacher with his own set of secrets. Hope I learn from his history. Exactly the same and yet very much different. That is my dad. If your father sat you down and said, son, we share the same tendency. When he was young, he was afraid of what he wanted. Got married to be like other families. It must have been hard keeping all those secrets. I clearly understand that part. One last attempt to be close to his son. That is why he tried to open up his heart. Same eyes, same nose, same blood, same name. But now I know I'll live my life.
Brian Lane Green and Dad and Me from his album Waiting for the Glaciers to Melt. And this set concludes with the song Out of the Rain by Darren. It's from his album Anything is Possible, which was nominated for the Debut Male Album Award. I think this is a terrific album, and his live performance opening the awards ceremony was dynamite.
You woke up this morning, living someone else's life, wearing someone else's shoes, talking someone else's lies. It seems like you've lost your mind. Now your life's just a compromise. In the mirror's another smile that you don't even recognize. When you feel you're all alone with the monsters in your mind, you don't feel you have the strength. Leave them all behind. All you need to do is call me, and I'll be there to bring you into the sun. And out of the rain, when you're looking for a friend with a shoulder to cry on, all you need is to be held to make it all be gone. And all you need to do is call me, and I'll be there to bring you into the sun.
That was Darren from his album Anything is Possible. One of the new and very interesting categories at the Out Music Awards this year was for Outstanding Album Design. The winning album was White Trash Girl by Candy Kane. Those listening to my show on the internet can see the album, and I think the music's a winner as well. And that got her a nomination for Outstanding New Recording Female. Okay, back to the awards for new music. We've got four categories to go. For the category of Outstanding New Recording for a Band or Duo, it seems all the members of the group Girly Man have to do is release an album and they get this award, which they've done three times now. This year they did it for their album called Little Star, and their song Young James Dean also picked up a nomination for Out Song of the Year. You'll just love their harmonies.
In the back of a camouflage truck, they locked me in once with the material. I was full of rage no one could handle, but I was safe right in the army. All the real girls with their backs turned called me crazy.
From their album Little Star, that was Doris Muromatsu, Tylan Greenstein, and Nate Borofsky, who make up the group Girly Man. Always a very competitive category is that for Songwriter of the Year, and this year the recipient was Toshi Reagan. From her album Have You Heard, here's a delicious sample of the song Didn't I Tell You?
Once you're gone, you'll be back again. Didn't I tell you? Didn't I tell you that you want some? Didn't I tell you? Didn't I tell you it would be all young? Didn't I tell you? I'm not gonna bring you down. All that is lost will be found. Let me tell you about my love. Didn't I tell you this is what I do? Didn't I tell you that my love was true? Didn't I tell you? Didn't I tell you it would be alright? Didn't I tell you? Don't you wanna be with me tonight? Didn't I tell you? If your time is your own, if you're sure as the day is long, let me tell you.
Before we get to the last two categories, I've got a special treat for you. At one of the artist showcases held as part of the Out Music Awards, one of my very talented friends, Freddie Freeman, sang a new song that he wrote as a tribute to Out Music. I loved it, and though he had not recorded it at that point, I immediately pleaded with him to do a recording of it so I could share it on this show. Good guy that he is, here's Freddie Freeman and the song Out Music.
Young gay boy had a desire to tell the truth about the way he loved. Listen to his music for the truth in the song, giving birth to his passion and desire. When he spoke his truth, an older man in a business suit said, "Hey boy, you really got a sound. I can book your tour, cut your record, get you signed. All you gotta do is push it up and change those pronouns around." Our hero looked him in the eye and said that'd be a big bad lie. But is it worth if I'm not true to who I am? Me and my brothers and my sisters and our friends don't need to play by your rules and a pause. We'll hear our voices as they rise up in song, and one day they will grow much too loud to ignore. Out Music, our stories of our lives, out of the darkness that has held us down far too long. Our heartbreak, our laughter and desire, telling the stories of the ones we love. Fire, out of the shadows, into the brilliant light of day, out of the shame, out of the fear, out of the bad, out through music.
quiet afternoons. She had a voice and opinions. She held hands with her girlfriend. Didn't matter if everyone could see. She played her guitar at the local bar, singing songs about her girl. She really had a sound. A woman came up to say, you could be a big star. All you gotta do is wear some lipstick and change those pronouns around. Oscar looked up from the floor. Said that's not what I do this for. Music is my life and it's part of who I am. If I change to fit an image, it's not truthful anymore. What's the use in being famous if I'm not me? You will hear our voices as they rise up in song. And one day they will grow much too loud to ignore. I'm music. Stories of our lives, out of the darkness that has held us down for far too long. Our heartbreak, our laughter and desire, telling the stories of the ones we love. The passionate fire, out of the shadows, into the brilliant light of day. Out of the fear, out of the shame, out of the bad, out of the music. That means nothing when you give up your integrity. So raise your voice and tell the stories of your life and love with dignity. Our music, our stories of our lives, out of the darkness that has held us down for far too long. Our heartbreaks, our laughter and desire. Telling the stories of the ones we love. Passionate fire. Our music. Our stories of our lives. Out of the darkness that has held us down. For too long. Our heartbreaks. Our laughter and desire. Telling the stories of the ones we love. Passionate fire. Out of the shadows. Into the brilliant light of day. Out of the shame, out of the fear, out of the past. Out through music.
Again, thanks to Freddie Freeman for recording that song especially in time for this show. The remaining two categories are perhaps the most revered of the awards, because instead of being determined by panels of judges, they are voted on by the members of Out Music. The categories are for Out Musician of the Year and Out Song of the Year. The Out Musician of the Year honor is not only for an artist's music, but also for their activism and community involvement. And this year's recipient is Robert Urban. Robert's a tireless promoter of queer music and has produced many live concerts showcasing GOBT artists, including all transgendered artist shows. And he's also a writer, contributing articles on queer music to a number of internet websites, getting the word out about artists who need to be heard. And of course, he's a musician, and definitely he can rock, backing up many GOBT artists when they need assistance. And he's released a number of albums. From Robert's latest album, Rock Widow, here's a little of the song, Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Judge not unless you would be
brings us to the last category, Out Song of the Year, for the song that best speaks to our GLBT experience. This year, there were 10 songs nominated, which made it a very tough field. And again, these were voted on by the Out Music members. I know I had a hard time deciding my choice. Before we hear the winning song, I want to thank you all for tuning in. And while I'm sure you can tell I'm a little biased, I definitely recommend you visit the Out Music website at www.outmusic.com to find out more about this organization and to get acquainted with the more than 400 artists who belong. So if, like me, you think queer music is more than the music you hear at circuit parties or that of divas and show tunes, you should visit the Out Music site. And, of course, I've got to plug my own site again at www.queermusicheritage.com, where you can see photos of the artists and recordings, and also about 260 candid photos I took at the awards and related events. And if you have a high-speed connection, you can hear the actual Out Music Awards show and much more. If you have questions or comments about any of the music I featured, please write me at qmheritage@aol.com. This is J.D. Doyle for Queer Voices on KPFT in Houston, and I'll be back on the fourth Monday of next month with another installment of Queer Music Heritage. That'll be another of my Songs I've Been Meaning to Play shows, a continuation of the excursion I started on last month's show. The artist who won for Out Song of the Year is Jen Foster, and I love her album, The Underdogs. That album also got nominations for Producer and Outstanding New Recording Female. By the way, she won in the category for Debut Female 2 years ago for her album Everybody's Girl. I first heard her song The Underdogs when I was judging for the awards, and it was one of those songs that when I finished listening, all I could say was, wow. And I've since interviewed her, and I want to share with you her comments on the song. Here's Jen Foster introducing her song that received the award for Out Music Out Song of the Year, The Underdogs.
It's a series of little vignettes about the various kids that I knew in school that didn't quite fit in, and each one didn't fit in for different reasons. You know, the kid in the first verse is named Billy Sims, and he didn't fit in because of a speech impediment. And, you know, the second verse is about a girl named Cindy Sloan, and, you know, she was just a little bit different, a little bit, some kids would call her off, and so, you know, she would hang out in the lunchroom and nobody would sit with her. The third verse is about a guy that I went on a date with in high school named Judson Tate, and it turned out that we were both gay, and we both sort of revealed that secret to each other and didn't fit in and related to each other, and so I always related to the kids that were outsiders in school. And even though I was kind of, you know, I don't know that you would call me a popular kid, but I just, you know, always was very sensitive to kids that were different, probably because of the experience of being gay in high school. It wasn't as open back then as it is today, so I definitely just always related to those kids, and this song is a tribute to them.
Second grade, Billy Sims playing out by the jungle gym. All the boys laughed at him for some sort of speech impediment, and they knocked him down. And I pushed them off, and they kicked our asses, 'cause we
accident.
Been listening to Queer Voices, heard each Monday at 7 p.m. here on KPFT, a publicly funded Pacifica Network station. Queer Voices is produced live in Houston with recorded segments from This Way Out, which is produced at KPFK in Los Angeles. Queer Voices executive producer is Jack Valensky. On-air voices are Glenn Holt, J.D. Doyle, Deborah Bell, and Jack Valensky, with remote correspondents Joan Devlin in Iowa and David Elliott in Washington, D.C. For more information about guests, events, and organizations mentioned in the show, visit queervoices.org. Some of the music you heard is listed or available on J.D. Doyle's website, queermusicheritage.org. Be sure to listen every Saturday morning at 1 a.m. for After Hours with Jimmy Carper. It's Queer Radio with Attitude. This is listener-sponsored and commercial-free Pacifica Radio, KPFT, at 90.1 FM, 89.5 FM Galveston, and worldwide via streaming audio from kpft.org. For Queer Voices, I'm Glenn Holt.
Every year, tens of thousands of people from all over the world are trafficked to the United States to work against their wills. Many of them end up right here in Houston. Now you can do something about it. August the 5th, the Orange Show and the Coalition Against Human Trafficking are hosting a benefit to help these people be free once more. The show opens at 5 p.m. at the Orange Show with a water park and free belly dancing lessons for the kids, and closes with new rock sensations, Novax and Ume. That's August the 5th from 5 to 10 p.m. at the Orange Show, 2401 Munger Street. Or call the Orange Show at 713-926-3311. No slaves in our town. You're listening to KPFT Houston.
This is 90.1 KPFT. Don't miss the 17th annual Houston Press Music Awards Showcase on Sunday, July 30th, starting at 4 p.m. in downtown Houston. Sample the sounds of over 60 local bands and surrounding Main Street venues. And don't forget to let your voice be heard on this year's Houston Press Music Awards ballot. You become the critic. Cast your vote by Sunday, July 30th. Ballots are available in this week's Houston Press and at HoustonPress.com. The results will be published in the August 3rd issue of Houston Press. Wristbands for the showcase and special discounts are available at participating locations. The Houston Press Music Awards is brought to you in part by KPFT. Pick up this week's Houston Press, log on to HoustonPress.com, or call 713-280-2448 for more information. This is 90.1 KPFT.
And thank you so much for joining us. It's the dog days of summer, and that means that we're smack in the middle of it, Tony. It's Houston summer.
It is that summer, like French people say, la canicule, meaning, you know, burning hell.
Well, yeah, I mean, guess what? We kind of love it in Houston. We moved to Houston because we love this burning hell.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.